Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture is Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Oh Lord God, I truly do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you," says the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant."
God, thank you for our time together, and I just pray that you'll continue to be with us in this moment and let it be your words that come through. And let those that are listening hear what they need to hear, and let their hearts need to hear what it is that you have to say. So for the last couple of weeks, we've talked about Jesus' first miracle that he ever performed. And last week, we talked about Jesus' ministry and when it actually started. So this week, we're going to talk about, continue to grow with that, and talk about, well, how does this ministry and how does this apply to us? How does this apply for the ministries that we're called to, the miracles that we're part of, and about our God-given purpose and finding out what that is? So let's start with Jeremiah. That's what we've been talking about today. So Jeremiah, like Pastor Lori mentioned, like many other prophets before him and after him, said that he was not up for the task. "God, I'm not up for this. I am too young." Another part of that is Jeremiah saying, I'm inexperienced. I don't know what to do. Why are you calling me to do this?" So either way, he tells God that he can't do it. Choose someone else. And this is familiar with Moses, as Candace said earlier, saying that he doesn't talk very well. With Jonah saying that he can't because they won't listen to him. And now we have Jeremiah saying that he can't because he's too young. So there's always a reason for us to say no, God. The interesting part is that God provided what was needed in each of these situations, and every single time God provides. So God provided Aaron to speak for Moses, a whale to catch Jonah's attention and keep him safe while he reflects on his calling and comes to terms with it. And with Jonah, God first assures Jeremiah that he will tell the prophet where to go and what to say. Second, God promises to deliver Jonah from all danger. And third, God reminds Jeremiah that he's given him the authority to carry out this ministry. So this is also where God reminds Jeremiah, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. So before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations." And we'll come back to this in a little bit. But God is reminding Jeremiah that I had this planned out before you were even born, before you even had anything to do with it. So with that, Jeremiah came to take no credit in what he was about to do. So this verse tells us that it's not God who sees our abilities and what we've accomplished later in life. So God doesn't say, "Hey, you see Chuck over there? Look at how great he's able to throw that football. I'm going to create a job opening for him and make him the lead football coach of SDSU." God is telling us here that the plan and purpose is already in place. This is also where there's comfort knowing that it's not us ourselves that has to make a way. God is the way maker. If we say yes and make ourselves available to be part of God's purpose that was laid out before we were even born, before we were even in the womb, that we can have peace knowing that God's plan will unfold and to be part of the miracle and see the miracle work itself out in us and around us. So God is never impressed by why we can't do what God asks, because God is the way maker. It's not ability, but availability. So you'll recall the first commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. This goes back to giving God our whole selves, including our hearts, and with that comes our availability. So now, this is also where it gets interesting. You give God these things, don't think that it's going to be easy, or that there won't be any growing pains in preparation for God's calling and purpose for your life. Author and spiritual leader Marianne Williamson said that if you invite God into your life, keyword invitation, you think God will show up like an interior decorator to spruce up the place a little bit, move a plant, put a banner up over there. So let me preface this next part by saying that our very own Lewis is an amazing person with many God-like qualities, and we love him dearly. And we're thankful for him and all that he does for the church and how beautiful he makes it. But what we're talking about here in this instance, God is no Luis Perez. God is a little bit more like Miley Cyrus and comes in like a wrecking ball. God, what, you remember this song? So as I was meditating on this week, it's, I come in like a wrecking ball. Well, but then it, in my brain, and as I was meditating on this, it just continues, God comes in like a wrecking ball. So with that, so it's been in my head all week, and hopefully I've planted that song in your head now, and now it'll be with you as well, so you're welcome for that. So picture this. You and God, you're standing outside of a building together, and this building is you. This is your life. And you're saying, God, can we just put some succulents in the window, in the front window, and some rose bushes on the side over here? And God says, you know what? I love what you've done with the place, and this is all you're doing, and you've done a good job. But if you're handing the building over to me now, let's just tear the whole thing down. Let's start over with some steel beams, a sunroom over here, and you're going to need an extra room upstairs because I have something in store for you, and you're going to need it. So God is going to build the building of you according to God's plan. And if you make yourself available, because that is what God created you for since the womb. So how do we know God's purpose? For some of us, it's like Moses and hearing our purpose through a burning bush. Jonah with the use of a whale. Or for some of us, maybe it's the Harry Potter experience. The owl that brings Harry Potter invitations to attend Hogwarts is like a call from God for some of us. Harry's less than kind foster parents try as best they can to destroy the invitation. So we have that to happen, right? Where many things come up and get in the way of this calling. But they even try escape into a remote cabin on an island somewhere else. Finally, several letters later, another one comes, but this time it's personally delivered by an angry giant of a man named Hagrid. I'm saying that right. So God's call was like this for Jeremiah. It was relentless and inevitable. God's call has been like this for some of us, but for others it's different. So most of us would ask, where's my owl? Not only because they're really cool and awesome creatures, but because it would make things so much easier, God, if you just tell us. God, I'm here, I'm willing, I'm available. That's what you asked for, so just tell me already. Where's the burning bush? Where's my well? But actually, most of us wouldn't ask for the whale, because think about it. Would you really want to be inside of a belly of a big fish with everything else that fish ate, with stomach gastric juices? Sorry, I'm trying to paint the picture for you. I mean, what that can only be like, right? So we probably wouldn't ask for God to send the whale. But I think that we've all experienced God enough in our lives to know that God is more of a go big or go home. God is a go big or go home kind of person. And when you're struggling with this and you just want things to be simple, remember the saying that it's not about the destination, it's about the adventure, which is very true, because you want to remember that the building of you that God is forming and the time that you get to spend with God because of it. So, again, I'm not a big Miley Cyrus fan, it's not that, but I do like another one of the songs, it's The Climb. So, because that's what it's about at the end of the day. While you're climbing with Jesus, because each step and each grass that you take for the next part of that mountain, Jesus is doing the same thing right next to you and looking you in your eyes every step of the way, encouraging you and being a part of that experience with you, being a part of the climb and the adventure. So, now you're saying that you're available, you're open to talking bushes, you're climbing. How do I get to the purpose, or how do I find it? And for most of us, this is where 1 Corinthians 13 comes in, believe it or not. So to paraphrase 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about all these amazing gifts that God provides to the world. If you do any of these gifts but do not love, it is nothing and is all in vain. So love is patient, love is kind, and it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Love never fails. And it says that all the other talents and gifts and everything in life will someday fade away, except for this one thing. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So Jeremiah tells us that we have purpose. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us how to find it. So we find it through love. Many use this verse at weddings because it is a beautiful verse, and love is the foundation of a marriage and the foundation of many relationships, and it should be the foundation of all relationships, actually. So some of the greatest actions of love caught on camera have been with sports. And I'm not a huge sports fan, but I do like watching sports. And sports is usually about teamwork, strategizing to win, and that I can do it attitude. And there have also been great moments of love being shown in sports. There have been instances of runners running and being in a good position in the race, and then they see another runner that falls down, and maybe they'll stop and go back and help that runner, and they end up going through the race together and finishing the race together. And even though they end up last, this is an act of love. There's been instances of where there's been football teams to collaborate before a football event, and they're working with the opposing team, and they decide and work out in advance that they want to make a way for another person to win, make sure that they get a winning touchdown. Because this winning touchdown for this one person is going to be a life-changing memory that they're going to take for them forever. That, again, that's love. There's so many examples of love, and those are just a couple. So next time you ask yourself about purpose or meaning for today or your life, or if you're in the middle of a decision trying to figure out where you belong, think about this. Many of you remember the famous sayings in the 90s, "What would Jesus do," right? So when you think about it, I would encourage you to stay away from that approach, because we're not Jesus. And you're doing it, instead we want to do it for love. Do it because of the love within you, because of the love that Jesus has put within you, your heart and your soul. Do it because it is your God-given purpose. So some will say that maybe they missed their opportunity or their purpose in life for whatever reason. But if you're still alive and on this planet, or maybe even another planet, who knows, I don't know, there is still a new day, a new purpose, and an opportunity to do something. And this is where, in closing, I do want to leave you with a couple of thoughts. So while you love, there is a sense of surrender, because love is selfless. So when you surrender, you're the one that's no longer talking. And when you're not talking, this is when God is. So when you're out there loving, this is also the best time to listen. Listen to those that you're helping, those that you're blessing, those that you are participating in a miracle with. So while you're out there loving, listen to God. And this is when you'll also find that you've already been doing God's purpose for your life. And you didn't even realize it. You've been doing it the whole time. So maybe it's love through being a teacher, a police officer, a nurse, a lawyer, working in construction, walking your neighbor's dog, cooking a meal, calling someone on the phone that can use a friendly voice, writing a letter. It doesn't matter what it is, and no matter how big or small the gesture, if you're doing it with love, then you are doing what God intended for you since the womb. You're living your purpose. So love is mentioned in 1 Corinthians because love is a choice. So remember to choose love every opportunity that you have because that is your purpose. Amen. For our prayer this morning, I would like to pray Psalm 71, 1 through 6, written by David as a seasoned believer who is in holy confidence of faith, strengthened by a long, remarkable experience, and pleading against his enemies and asking further blessings for himself. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb, and I will ever praise you. God, we pray for your purpose and your desires in place of our own. We pray for your protection, love, and guidance, and the ability to be the miracle and to share that miracle each and every day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.